Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
We welcome you into the playbook for a Wednesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook, Patriots Football Weekly's Eric Scalavino.
Howdy, friend.
Is also in the house. What's happening today,
Biggie? I'm sorry. I want to apologize.
For what?
I didn't bring you back any hot sauce from Buffalo
well,
this time.
You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You... Thank you, Kevin, for that. It's like, yeah, where's our swag? You brought me a bottle last year.
I sure did.
Remember?
Yeah, of course I remember. Anchor Bar.
That stuff is so hot, I still got half of it left.
Oh, really?
Well, it's because you can only do it a little at a time. I mean, you brought me the nuclear
That's
version.
What you wanted.
I did. I asked for it, and you brought it. And so the deal with that is that you really can't use it often. And if you use it often, you've got to do it in small little increments because a little goes a long way. Yes. Yes. And I don't want to touch the hiney either.
So Big E brought the heat last year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did. I was making chicken wings at home with the girlfriend, mm-hmm. putting them on the grill. I said, oh, I've got Anchor Bar stuff. She goes, oh, isn't that the place in Buffalo? And I said, yeah, that's the place in Buffalo. And she goes, oh, well, I'd love to try that. So I'm just kind of barely like dabbing on. She goes, put that stuff on there.
This woman's a keeper.
And I'm like, yes, ma'am. So I put that stuff on there.
And she wasn't talking about the chicken wings, right?
No, she wasn't talking about the chicken wings at all. Yes! But she's like, her face exploded when she took a bite of the chicken wings. So,
yeah.
Hey.
We didn't go there. We went to Duff's this time.
Duff's, I've heard. I have not been to Duff's, but I have heard of Duff's.
I came back smelling for the whole next day, like,
nice.
Fried... chicken wings,
nice.
And sauce and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very good. That's
my jacket, my jeans, everything.
It was
reeked of it the next morning.
It was. Well, no, I don't know that reek is a.
Well, okay.
The
taste lingered.
It lingered, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I don't think.
No, it wasn't offensive
right.
in any way. But it just,
exactly.
You know, there were worse smells to carry with you after a day.
When you say reek, it indicates to me that it was
unenjoyable. Bad, yes.
Right?
Okay. All right. I apologize. Bad choice of words on my part.
It was not.
No.
Unenjoyable.
No.
Right?
No, it wasn't.
It was a good reek.
Sure.
If there's such a
yes.
thing. Yes. It was a good reek.
It was aromatic. How about that?
An aromatic reek.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. All right. So here we go. We've got Peyton Manning coming to town. Before we
yep.
recap just briefly from the weekend and move in, by the way, hour number two of the program today, Mark Johnson from KOA Radio in Denver will join us as we'll get into Broncos stuff and the Peyton Manning era in Denver. It seems like we played Denver, you know, we played Denver what now? Every year for the last 3 years in a row? 4 years in a row?
That sounds right. Yeah. Well, I'll
tell you exactly.
He's going to look for the book now. I think we played them.
Yeah, we played them in the playoffs.
I know. This is at least
and the
three,
regular season.
This is at least three, and I'm thinking it might be 4 years in a row.
Played them, obviously, in the playoff game and then out there in Denver in December.
Correct.
Of last year.
Right.
Sorry, I'm flipping through as quickly
as I
can here.
No, that's quite all right. We can, we can vamp.
2010.
Yep.
No, we did not play them in 2010.
Why does it seem like we've played them more than that?
2009, we played them and lost in a memorable game
okay.
over time.
Yeah, yeah.
When we had the throwback uniforms.
Right, right, right.
2008, we played them.
Right. Okay.
So, just
Got
that
it.
1 year in between. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, pretty frequent for a team that's not in your division.
Works. Okay.
You know?
All right. So that's good. So it seems, and here we are. We're going with them again, but it's obviously a new team, new look. And a familiar foe in Peyton Manning. And
yep.
obviously a lot of other, you know, shared traits between the two teams as well. Dan Copen at center,
yep.
former team for Josh
starting
McDaniels.
Starting this week, it's
that's
like.
Right. He moved in the starting lineup because the guy ahead of him broke his ankle, right?
Yeah.
So Yeah, so he'll be
how the universe works sometimes, huh?
It'd be just like practice because he had to block against Vince Wilfork in practice all the time. That's a good point. That Dan Copeland, I would think, would be very used to.
And how weird is it going to be for him in Gillette snapping to Peyton Manning and not Tom Brady?
Somebody has to talk to Dan about that.
Yeah.
I'm snapping to Peyton Manning after snapping
to Tom Gillette Stadium.
Brady. Yeah.
Not just anywhere, but in Gillette Stadium.
Because I would imagine that he'll have a lot of deja vu all over again stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
And in a little interesting side note, they over the weekend when we were in Buffalo, they added Matt Tennant, offensive lineman, who they had brought in week one and then cut a few days later.
Mm-hmm.
Originally gave him number 69, which he got when he was here the first time.
Mm-hmm.
His number has now been changed to guess what?
67?
Correct.
Wow.
Out there at practice, they were like, who's 67? And then we looked down on our rosters. They had changed it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Tennant is now 67.
Copeland was 67, and he is 67 with
the Broncos.
With Denver as well.
Yeah,
correct.
So I don't know if there's some sort of funny gamesmanship or what going on there.
You're right. Sports can be kind of crazy like that.
Because Tennant is naturally a center.
Yes, he was. I think he played tackle quite a bit his last year or two at Boston College as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
I think so. I know that they liked him initially enough to bring him in because he does have versatility. And speaking of versatility, you like the segue here?
Sure.
The unbelievable versatility in the performance, I think, especially by the middle three guys on that offensive line on Sunday in Buffalo. I mean, what Donald Thomas and Connolly did, they get a lot of credit for 247 yards on the ground.
They sure do. And I would also throw in just
Ryan
the tight
Rundell.
Ends.
Yeah.
Oh, the tight ends, right. Because there was a lot of running to the outside, too. But and pulling, like the tight ends would pull and help inside, which helped gain a lot of yards. It was interesting to see. I was very curious / nervous when I saw that Donald Thomas was going to be taking over for Logan at left guard because of how badly Thomas played in Connolly's stead at right guard 2 weeks ago against Arizona. He just really, after watching the tape too, it was clear he had a really poor game that day. And our buddy Greg Bedard from the Globe, I think, originally said that he thought Thomas was more naturally a left guard.
Mm-hmm.
And he played a much, much better game at Buffalo than he did here against Arizona, to your point there. So, yeah, they had their regular starting right guard, Connolly, and they had Thomas filling in for Mankins admirably. I think they did a great job in the interior. They limited those vaunted interior tackles of the Buffalo Bills from getting, I mean, Brady had to scoot out of the pocket a little bit at times, but for the most part, he was in pretty good shape. And you have to credit the interior guys. Yeah, Wendell, of course, at center was another one.
You know, I made this comment yesterday, and I really think it bears repeating, the fact that, you know, offensive linemen, ask them to a man. You know, obviously, you know, one of my good friends is Pete Brock, and ask these guys to a man, and they'd much rather be going forward than backwards. So they much rather run block than pass block.
And that has been that way for generations, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd much rather
attack than be attacked.
Sure.
And that's basically what you're talking about, the difference between run blocking and pass blocking.
Right. And, you know, it's funny, when I talk to people about watching football, one of the first things I tell them is, not just people who are new to the game either, but when you watch a football play, most people's tendency is to do what?
When you're watching a football play, your tendency is to watch the ball.
You shouldn't. What you should do is watch, first of all, the center, and by extension, the offensive line in general, because that will dictate to you 99 times out of 100 what the play is going to be. And it all is based on how they line up at the snap and what the center does after he snaps the ball. So that should be where your eyes are focused initially on a play. And you will know a split second ahead of time what the play is going to be based on what they do.
Mm-hmm.
How they line up, what they're doing, tells you almost everything you need to know about the play.
Okay.
Well, and it's tempting. It's obviously tempting because you want it, the ball is what the action is.
Sure.
But if you want to really get down to predicting or even, you know, foreseeing what how this is going to play out, look at the center and the O-line in general and what they do.
watch their stance too. It's kind of like sometimes.
Oh, sure.
Sometimes the stance can give it away.
Oh, sure. The stance, of course. Like when they line up in what looks like a V formation, mm-hmm. and they're sitting there with their hands on their thighs, they're in pass block mode.
Pass block. You know
when they're
coming.
In a 3-point stance,
yeah.
They're going to run block. But even sometimes when they're in that stance, in what looks like a pass block stance, if the center fires off the ball after he makes the snap, it's a running play. If he backs on his heels, again, 99 times, I mean, they could run a draw play, whatever. But for the most part, you watch that center, and he'll give away what the play is going
to
be.
Right. Just have to have some discipline. And that's why, you know, it gives you an idea now, the tough job that a defensive lineman has on the other side, being able to read and react, and then basically making that first play, if you will, so where the linebackers then behind them can actually react to whether or not it's a run or a pass.
Right.
And that's how it all unfolds.
And, yeah, I give a lot of credit to the New England O-line in that Buffalo game. Like I said, Brady, I think, was one of his best games at avoiding the rush. He was nimble enough to get out of the pocket and to get out of the rush and stay in basically the pocket mm-hmm. to fire passes. Better than I've seen him in a while, because he's been very skittish lately when he's been rushed.
That's right.
Have you noticed?
Yes, yes, yes.
And
I
he
have
looked
noticed that.
Just the opposite in Buffalo. He looked like he knew exactly where everything was coming from.
Yeah, bleep you bleeps.
Yeah, yeah. He looked like he was in full command of that pocket against Buffalo, even when it broke down.
And he had to make sure that Wes Welker and Deion Branch knew that, I think, at that particular instance, right?
What was the context of that?
He was, and Welker explained this on Monday, on Patriots Monday. Brady didn't want to answer because I don't think he wanted to throw anybody under the bus. You know how Tom is. But Welker was asked the same question by Mutt Merloney, and he basically said that he and Deion were giving Brady crap, calling and saying, hey, your knee was down, dude. You weren't in the end zone.
Oh, during the review?
Yeah, and it's like, your knee was down. You did not score. And so when it was ruled a touchdown, Brady was
busting his chops,
he was busting their chops back by saying,
okay.
Bleep you bleeps.
Right.
You know, I did get in the end zone, damn it. So that's what the context was of that whole conversation.
And that got caught on
national television.
Wow.
Just the bleep you bleep
part. Just that part.
Just that part.
Like loud and clear for everyone to hear, or was it just
it wasn't loud and clear, but you could definitely read lips. It was not hard to read lips.
Oh.
It was distinctive. But because
they were joking around, though.
Yes, it was a close-up shot of Brady on the bench as he was kind of glancing up at the big screen at Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Right.
and so nobody got a chance to see Welker sitting next to him giving him
the
So Welker said, well, it was actually Deion and me, and we were giving him crap, telling him, hey, you didn't score. You're not in. And then when it was ruled a touchdown, he's bleep you. So
bleep.
So I made the mention yesterday on the show. I said, you know what? I liked that out of Tom.
Of course.
He's giving it right back. This is camaraderie between teammates.
Right. Playful chemistry.
Yes.
With two guys he's known forever.
Known forever.
So
you would expect that. So he wasn't yelling at the officials. He wasn't yelling at the Buffalo fans.
Right.
He wasn't yelling at the Buffalo players.
By the way, whatever is said on the sideline
should stay on the sideline.
Yeah.
Like whatever state you do in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? Yeah. Same thing. I agree with that. Because you don't understand what the context of some of the conversation would be on the sideline unless, of course, you're in on it,
Plus, that sideline is supposed to be their comfort zone.
Right.
During a game. That's their safe place.
Sure.
You know, you should try to respect the sideline as much
That's why I don't like a lot of the shots on the sidelines, you know, unless you want to, you know, shoot the head coach. Which I get, and then of course even then, if you
like in positional
coach,
meetings when they're like
or the coordinators or whatever, you notice they're taking their play cards and they're covering their mouth because they don't want to give anything away.
You talk about reading lips,
lips. They don't want to, and that's what happened.
Right.
You know, so and that's why you see a lot of the guys when they want to have conversations. Guess what? They keep their helmets on because then you can't get a clear look at the face. So, you know, you get what you get when you get sideline shots on the television coverage or NFL films, what have you. A lot of guys realize that NFL films, and this has been one of the wonderful things about NFL films coverage over the years, is that their film cameras are wandering everywhere. They have carte blanche. They have the right to shoot things, and they do shoot things that you can't get on network television. And that's why all those NFL film shows and the HBO things and all the stuff that we've seen over the years has been so fantastic because it's letting us into a place where we just don't get a chance to go.
Right. And if there's something there that that is incriminating as far as, you know, or embarrassing.
They let you hear the context of the conversation.
Yes.
So you can
understand what's going on.
Yes.
They don't just play the sensational part.
Yeah.
They let you know.
Yeah, which is what broadcast entities do. They play the sensational part because it's going to get a rise out of it.
Right.
But NFL Films has got the time and the wherewithal to let it play out so you can understand the context if someone is bitching at somebody.
Speaking of NFL Films.
Yeah.
Talk about segues.
Yes.
Tonight, if you are able, tune into NFL Network about 8 o'clock, I believe. The Football Life thing on the 1995 Cleveland Browns is on, and that is obviously Bill Belichick's last year with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's going to be pretty entertaining. And if you can't be there, try to DVR it. Looks like it could be a good one. And just for the perspective of seeing Bill 17 years younger and what he was doing back then and just some of the stuff. I mean, just from that pure entertainment standpoint, it would be kind of cool. But that whole story about the Cleveland Browns and how they left town and all that, I think is just one of the more compelling storylines in NFL history, you know, and how the community wanted to keep that team and all the records and everything. And, you know, when they moved to Baltimore, they completely started fresh with that franchise. They didn't carry it over like when the Oilers went to Tennessee. They carried all of the Houston records and history with them. The Browns kept it all in Cleveland, had the 4-year hiatus, and then came back in 99. I mean, I think it's just a great story.
It is a good story.
And it's a new NFL Films production, so tune in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good plug. All right, so let's get to the business at hand. By the way, you can reach us on the program. You know how to do it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Email address is webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook is John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, and Twitter, @JRook0722. That's the Twitter address. By the way, I just got a tweet from Strippers who says, does Texas slow down the Geno Smith Heisman campaign? And he says, yes, I'm shouting. So he obviously has an OU fan.
Typing all caps there.
Yeah, I know. As an Oklahoma fan, he's actually rooting for the Longhorns this week. That's shocking. See, I don't know how.
Why is he doing this?
I don't know. Because I guess West Virginia is pretty good, and you know they've got that high-powered offense, and Geno Smith is on the tip of everybody's tongue for the Heisman Trophy this year. But you know, West Virginia plays in Austin for the first time this Saturday night, and they obviously have a juggernaut on offense. They put 70 up on the board against Baylor last week, so I'm guessing that he's doing that because he feels like that's OU's best chance to have success in the Big 12 because they still have Texas to play in next week. Actually. So I don't know. But I was just going to make the comment. He can't be a true Oklahoma fan because if you're a true Oklahoma fan, you never root for Texas.
No matter what?
Ever.
No
just like
what.
I would never root for Oklahoma. Never.
No matter what?
Never. By the way, what color is my shirt?
It looks burnt orange to me.
Yeah, there you go. Just want to make sure since we don't have the cameras operating here. I want to make sure you put that out.
Of course, sure. I'll help you out there. You know who I felt bad for last college football weekend?
Who?
The quarterback from I forgot which school who threw for like 580 something yards, who got completely overshadowed by Geno Smith and his 600 and something whatever it was yards. I can't even remember the kid's name because all I heard about was Geno Smith, but there was some game where the quarterback threw for 500 and change
I don't even remember.
He was overshadowed.
That?
Some guy threw. Imagine that. He's thinking in that game, probably, look, I'm going to be the talk of college football this week. And Geno Smith gets.
He threw for over 6 bills.
Yeah.
In fact, they had over 800 yards of total offense. The game itself had about 1,500 yards of total offense.
I was almost as impressed with Baylor putting up 63
and losing.
Yeah. Especially with no Robert Griffin.
There's something that's just way too Xbox about that for me, though. I didn't like it. I did not enjoy it. It was back and forth like a pinball game, but I didn't really enjoy it because it just seemed to be too free and easy. And I mean, both teams were playing at an unbelievably high level on offense, but like I said, it was too video game-ish, honestly.
What about the New England game? Did you feel that way in the second half?
A little bit. When you realize that the Patriots put up 45 points in the second half, that's like incredible. I mean, they did that in 09 against Tennessee in the first half of that game. I remember that. But you have to have a lot of help from the other guy in order to do that, you know, at the professional level. I mean, sometimes you get mismatches in the college game, and that's why you see those scores get in the 60s and 70s in the college game. But in the pros, To score 45 points and a half, you got to have a lot of help.
Yeah.
That's the other team leaving the football on the ground or throwing it away.
Giving it up.
And that's obviously that's what happened in the second half to Buffalo.
It sure looked like Buffalo just...
They stopped playing.
They had great momentum at the end of the first
half.
Spikes forced fumble.
Yeah, I thought they stopped.
And then they got kind of lucky on that touchdown to Donald Jones at the start of the second half.
Well, they did.
Which sort of sparked them a little bit, but by that point, New England was already...
It was already up. They'd scored 35 unanswered points.
No, but I mean, New England was only down 14-7.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out of the half.
Yes.
They still had momentum, but then they gave up the big touchdown
to
and went down 14 points.
21-7, right.
But by that point, they were already motivated, I think, by the Spikes play,
mm-hmm.
so that when they took over the football...
Went after it again.
Yeah.
I thought the Spikes play and Will Fork recovering the fumble was the seminal point.
Turning point of the game.
I thought so, without a doubt. You know, it just
even though they got in a bigger hole after that.
Well, they did, and frankly, I was a little upset. Well, it was one of the nitpicks from yesterday. Was you know why didn't they do anything with the ball at the end of the first half? Because they certainly seemed like they had time left on the clock to do that.
But yeah, it was about a minute or so.
About a minute and a half.
Yeah,
about a minute and a half. I mean, I realize it's an awful long way to go, and you don't want to dig yourself any bigger hole. But frankly, I just thought that was a sort of an easy way out.
I mean, they figured they had fumbled on the previous two possessions, so they were kind of maybe just like, all right,
you
know what, we'll take...
I don't know how
it worked. Whatever it was, it worked.
Sure, but I don't know how you can let previous possessions dictate what you do, you know, on the next one. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, okay, you know, Steve Gutowski, you missed two field goals, you're not going out there to kick. We're just going to, you know, move. And I don't think they would do that. I think they would throw him right back out there if they thought that, you know, he could make a kick. So to me, that was just sort of like... why are you doing this? It just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
By the way, were people getting on his case yesterday?
Not really. There were a couple of nitpicks over the fact that he missed him.
Okay.
But I made the statement yesterday, and I'll make it again today for anybody that didn't hear yesterday's show. You know, quite frankly, he needs to get right back out there and kick. And you know as well as anybody, having been a place kicker, the only way that you can work through issues is just to keep kicking.
Yeah, and let's be a little bit realistic, just for the few people who have been contacting me on Twitter and in our Ask PFW inbox about, oh, we need to look for a new kicker, what's wrong with Gostkowski?
No.
First of all, and this is a little close to my heart, obviously.
Of course.
But first of all, he went into that game 9-for-10 on the season. The one miss was the unfortunate one at the end of the Arizona game.
Mm-hmm.
After a game in which he had already hit 4 field goals, 2 of which were plus 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The two that he missed in Buffalo were both between 40 and 50 yards, no chip shot gimmies by any means, and they barely missed. They weren't like Cundiff's miss in the playoffs here.
Duck hook.
No, they weren't badly missed. They were very close, and they were long-range ones. Leave the guy alone. It's not like he's missing 22-yard chip shots over here. He'll be fine.
That's kind of what I think.
He'll be fine.
He'll have a chance, I'm sure, this weekend to kind of work out of those difficulties. All right, let's take a break here, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to get to your emails. We're going to get to your phone calls. Time to call is now, 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can hit up on Facebook. You can also tweet and webradio at patriots.com, the email address. Questions on Denver. Got a couple of things going to throw out at you, but if you've got questions on the Broncos and the way this team sets up for Week 5 this week with Peyton Manning coming back to town. Off the top of your head, I know you're looking at it. You've already turned the page, as we're doing as well. Okay, it's time to hear from you. So let's do it right here in the playbook, and we will also get to roster changes that have been made, and the update on the practice report is coming up next.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy 4 select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
508-298-0398. Pick it up. Call it. Ace Ticket Hotline. Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John. He's Eric. Waiting on you also at webradio@patriots.com, the email address.
All right, Big E, here's a good question for the day. We were just having the off-air discussion about Peyton Manning, and he's had a couple of good games. He's had a couple of not-so-good games. I think we can cut him a little bit of slack because the guy did have 65 neck operations or whatever it was to, you know, actually come back and play football again, which to me is very admirable. I personally think the game is
crazy
better.
Is what I would call it.
Crazy, but yes, but I think it's admirable, and I think the game is better with Peyton Manning in it, especially an effective Peyton Manning. I'm just not quite ready to let him go like I was ready to kick Brett Favre out the door a couple of years ago. I think Manning, Manning has shown he's still got some game.
He does. I'm more just concerned with Peyton's health. I don't want to see him take a hit that's going to do something catastrophic to him.
Well, you know,
that's
what?
The only reason why I was he's a big reluctant to see him.
That,
no,
right?
I know he can, but I'm just saying that was my thinking behind. If he were just, you know, if he were just this age, still wanting to play, and the Colts had said, you know, we want to move on and get somebody younger.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not ready to kick him out the door like I was with Favre. Favre had long since outlasted his welcome with going to two different teams after he left Green Bay. I don't think Peyton was in that situation as far as his playing ability. I'm just more concerned about him health-wise. You know, I mean, so far he's doing okay, so more power to him, I guess. But I just worry with a neck injury that, you know, don't you cringe? Wouldn't you cringe every time you see him get hit?
Yes, especially if I were a Bronco fan.
Yeah.
Less so because I'm not. But if he were
your quarterback, wouldn't you be like,
I'd probably
anytime any
but
pressure
don't you
got
think,
there?
Though, that has been gone over more times than probably Peyton cares to think about, that there's no way that his doctors would have cleared him or he would even want to go out on the field if he thought the next hit could paralyze him? I just don't think the guy would do it.
I would hope not. But these guys, and I've seen these professional, a lot of these professional athletes at that level, don't know when to call it quits. And a lot of people, they surround themselves a lot of times with yes people, doctors included, who are willing to look the other way or give a wink and a nod and say, yeah, you can play when they know you shouldn't. I mean, this whole concussion controversy that's come up in the last few years, how many times have we heard about guys saying, you know, the doctors knew I shouldn't play, but I insisted on going in there and things like, you know what I mean? How do we know that Peyton didn't say, I don't care what you guys think, I'm playing? Mm-hmm. And then how do you say no to that? Especially if, you know,
if they say,
Peyton, there's a 95% chance that if you take a hit in just the right spot, you're going to be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what they're telling him, but if they were and he said, you know what, I'll take that 5% risk that I'll survive it. And, you know, guys at that level, sometimes they can't be talked out of these things.
We got a question of the day for you that I want you to consider as we were talking about Peyton before we came back on the air here on the program. Along the lines of whether or not you think Peyton is still a viable quarterback. And by viable, I mean, can he lead his team to the promised land, whether it be, you know, the playoffs, I guess would be considered.
Well, it's a start, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you get your team in the playoffs? Denver was a playoff team a year ago under Tim Tebow.
Yep.
Barely, but it was a playoff team.
Right.
And they certainly pulled a shocker against Pittsburgh. So, you know, is Peyton Manning still an effective enough quarterback to get the job done in the NFL? Now, when you consider that question, what I want you to do to answer that question is send me your list of your top five quarterbacks in the game today. And let's just see, by a process of addition or subtraction, how many times Peyton Manning makes the list. And we'll find out where he really stands in your pantheon of current great quarterbacks. All right, so what I want you to do, you can certainly answer the question outright if you like, is Peyton Manning still a good quarterback today, a viable quarterback today? But what I want you to do, send me your top five quarterbacks in the game today, right now. Who are the best five in
not
the NFL?
Not of all time.
No, no.
Not how they're going to be.
No. I want the best five
in the future.
Quarterbacks today, right now,
week five,
2012.
Yep.
That's what I want. Webradio at patriots.com. Pick up the phone and call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can post it on Twitter, you can post it on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, and you can certainly post it on Twitter if you like. Send it in a tweet, at jrook0722 is the Twitter address. So there you go. That's your question. Top five QBs, go.
Okay. I would still take Tom Brady. Well, right. Let me ask the first question. Yes, I think Peyton could still be, provided he's healthy.
I agree.
Peyton
healthy,
can lead the Broncos to the playoffs.
I agree. Healthy guy. I think you still have to consider him in there based on what he's done in the past. But
I don't know if he can get them to the Super Bowl.
No. Because I don't think the Denver team is
I don't think they're quite there yet.
They got better. I think they are better, and I think this is going to be a tighter game initially than some might think it will be on Sunday. I'm going to go that far.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking that if you've got Brady and you've got Manning, and you've got to choose three more, and I'm not talking about, you know, well, six guys that could end up being in there in the fifth spot. But I think beyond those two, I think you have to look at Peyton's brother Eli, based on his big game quarterbacking ability. As much as I hate to do it, he's beaten the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl, and that gets my utmost respect. So I think Eli's probably got to be in that top five. I would have said Tony Romo until the other night. I've not been a Tony Romo fan, and that just underscored it for me.
Would you have Jay Cutler in your discussion?
No,
because.
No. I just don't think he's a good enough teammate to invariably get it done in crunch time. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, you don't trust him.
I don't trust him. I don't trust him. So, I mean, I actually am going to struggle a bit with the last two, but I'm going to tell you that I think in terms of talent and the ability to carry your team on, I think you have to look at a guy like Roethlisberger, who I'd probably put in that top five. And then I think
you... So you have you so far have Brady, Manning...
Brady, Manning, and Roethlisberger. That's four.
Oh, man. Wow.
So now you can see how tough this is going to
be. Yeah.
This is going to be tough.
Because you've got a winless Drew Brees.
Well, I'm just saying.
I was just getting to Drew Brees. All right.
Brees, obviously, is a great quarterback. But today, week 5, 2012, his team is over. Does that still leave him
as a
great quarterback?
Is that a reflection on him, though, or is that more a reflection on all the other circumstances surrounding that team?
I think it's a legitimate question. All right, give me your spiel here.
All right, I'll take Brady any day. Just because I've seen him, and I'm, you know, obviously I've seen him more than any other quarterback, and he is one of the best, and there's no one I would trust at the end of a game more than him.
Okay.
I would still put Brees in my top five. Because I think as a quarterback, I still think he's a great quarterback. I don't necessarily fault him for the 0-4 start that the Saints had. So he'd be probably my number two right now, Brees.
Okay.
Still.
So Brady.
Leaving it over. Brady, Brees.
No Manning?
Hold on.
This is too painful.
Hold on.
It's almost like you can see.
Hold on. I'm talking about right now.
You can see the gerbil running in his head.
I still think Matt Schaub is a very good quarterback.
Really? Matt Schaub?
Yeah.
Come on. Really?
I'm trying to make an argument.
What is he doing?
I'm trying to figure it out.
I realize it's now, and Houston's undefeated, but really? Come on. Come on, man.
I can't stand Eli Manning.
Yeah, but see, you're letting personal bias get in the way. You can't do that. You're letting personal bias.
Aaron Rodgers.
That's the other one that I was going to go with.
Is probably my third. Well, Brady, Brees, Rodgers are still my top
that's
three.
That's who I was going with. I was going with Rodgers, and Brees doesn't make my cut. How do you like them
answers? Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. And you have both Mannings in the top five.
I do.
I can't put Peyton in the top five yet. I think he doesn't make my top five just because I don't think he's as good as he was before the injury.
But that's why we asked the question today, because I want to know what
he's
our
still very good, but I don't think he's as good as he was before the injury.
All right. Okay. All right.
I can't. Because I have a problem with Roethlisberger and the other Manning. But I think one of them has to go in the top five right now.
So do I.
I'll put Roethlisberger in there.
Well, he wins.
Yeah. Because, see, to me, Manning, I still think of Manning as the guy who closes his eyes and tosses up a prayer and it gets caught. Mm-hmm. And that's how he wins. Mm-hmm. I just, I, I, I can't believe in him. I'm sorry. I know I sound like a biased fan there, but I just can't do it.
You're a
but
biased
I still
fan.
Have one. I still have one spot left.
All right, so give it.
I still have one spot left.
This is like pulling teeth without Novocaine. Come on.
Matt Ryan is my fifth.
What?
Right now, you're saying right now, week okay. five in the NFL.
All right.
I'm taking Matt okay. Ryan over.
All right, all right. If you try to keep out the "what have you done for me lately" mm-hmm. argument, I could buy Matt Ryan.
Yep.
Okay. I could buy Matt Ryan. I could buy it. I don't agree with it, but I could buy it. Okay, fair enough.
So there it is. My top five: Brady, Breeze, Rodgers,
Roethlisberger,
Ryan.
Okay, I've got Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger, Rodgers.
Okay,
that's what I have. Okay, what do you have? That's what I want to know here. Webradio@patriots.com. That's our email. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook, at JRook0722 on Twitter. To the phones. David's in West Texas. David, you're in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on, John? How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. Hey, man, this top five quarterback is kind of hard.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it does cause you to think a little bit.
That's the whole
it?
Point.
Totally. You know, right now I think I got number one, you know, we got to go with Brady, right?
Of course. Why can't, yeah.
You know, yeah, you got to go with Brady, and I've got number two, I've got Rodgers, and I've got Schaub number three.
See?
I got to put Eli in there. Eli's been a clutch quarterback since before the playoffs last year. And, I mean, he's been good. You got to put him up there, and I have to put Ryan at number five. Just
all right.
Because of what he's been doing lately, you know.
All right, so David, you have Schaub in there at number three. Is that just because Houston's 4-0?
Well, I mean, his production last year before he got hurt. I mean, let's just say they all stay healthy. I think Schaub was carrying the team pretty good last year before he got hurt.
Yeah. Well, again, keep in mind now that it's okay to use some of that background in your decision-making process here, but what I'm more interested in is what you feel are the top five quarterbacks today. This is week five, 2012 season. So you look at the 32 teams right now, today, in the NFL, and who are the five best quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, Breeze. I would say Breeze has got to be there, but Breeze has to have his head coach, man, you know?
Has to have what?
He has to have his head coach. He has to have his head coach there.
And oh.
Lately, he hasn't had his head coach, but – and it kind of shows, you know, I mean, he can't seem to carry his team as of right now. You know, he hasn't been able to carry – Breeze hasn't been able to carry his Saints all the way, but without his head coach, which that's the reason why I don't got him in the top five right now. But,
okay.
I mean, the production that Ryan's been doing – I got to put him at five, you know, the way Eli's been playing, you know, at the end of his quarters, you know, almost every game at the end of his quarters, I mean, he's been putting up the yards, he's putting up the numbers, he seems to take control of the team when it counts at the end just to win. Got to put him at number five, and I mean, just the performance of Schaub at number three, just, you know, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people have been paying too much attention to the Texans, but to me, the Texans haven't really played anybody, you know, competitive beside, you know, the Broncos and Peyton.
Okay.
Which it kind of seemed like, you know, Peyton wasn't really. I mean, you know, he's kind of still, you know, tugging the boat along. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so recap for us. Who are your five?
Okay, Brady number one, Rodgers number two, Schaub number three. Eli 4 and Ryan 5.
Okay. All right. So no Peyton.
No Peyton.
That's the other thing that we want to get at. No Peyton. All right. So, all right. That's fair. Right now, Peyton is out of that list more than he's in it. And it's very early.
Is he close? Is he close in your book, David?
I really don't know, man. I would hate to put him above Roethlisberger. I think Big Ben would be number six, but I don't think I could even put him number seven, number eight.
Okay, that's fair. All right, David. By the way, where in West Texas are you located?
We are maybe 60 miles north of Lubbock, Texas. Maybe Wreck'em Tech.
Wow. Wow. Wreck'em Tech. I like it.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
Sir, we had a nice conference game this past week against Iowa State, went and controlled the passing game for them, only allowed them 86 yards in the passing game.
Right.
And we got Oklahoma this week, so we gotta go
check. Yeah, baby. All right. Yeah, take care of business on those Sooners. This
All
righty,
man.
Take care of business. By
we
the way,
got you.
Yeah,
you
go get it. And Brian Jensen, who's the voice of the Red Raiders on football, he's a good friend of mine from the past. So he's a good guy. And then Wreck'em Tech this week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, I was gonna bring up the fact. I don't know if you guys have time, but since the whole talk about Peyton and Peyton being one of you know, lately he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's coming. You know, he's coming to Foxborough. He's going to play against Tom Brady. You know, what's the odds of letting Brady right out of the gun, this win the coin toss, get the ball, give it to Brady, no huddle, shove it down her throat, and see what Manny can do, and kind of put a little bit of pressure on Manny. You know, and let's do some no huddle. You know, let's. See what that does. I think you know, because we've been watching Brady in the no huddle. I mean, he's been phenomenal. Last past couple of games, you give the ball to Brady and let him move the ball down the field. He moves it great, and I say let's challenge him with a quick seven and let him see if he can try to move the ball. And I think it'll help the defense out. That'll kind of set up. You know, I'm thinking let's start off heavy with the pass. That'll set up the play action. And with the play action set up the run, you know, and kind of let the hounds loose on the running game. After, you know, I think everybody wants, you know, everybody thinks that we're waiting to try the whole running game to set up the play action and then let Tom Brady try to throw the ball, you know. And at times, you know, it's been all right, but at times it doesn't work. And I think that's what's been the problem in the first couple, you know, our first three games, you know, the first half of each game is trying to establish that run.
Okay.
You know, let's just go quick. Go quick, get Brady the ball, and go down the field, shove it down the throat, and let them see what they're going to do.
And put him on the defensive. All right.
And put him on the defensive and bring it, you know.
Sounds
you
like.
You want to come to Foxborough and be an art
right.
guy?
Right.
Hey, well, let's put him out there.
Sounds like we need to put David on the coaching staff. David, thank you for the phone call. You know, put him on the defensive right off the top. That's not the first time we've heard that kind of, you know, theory anyway that would work out for the Patriots.
Yeah, how many times have you seen them do that? My guess is they won't.
No, probably not.
If they win, they'll defer.
Yeah, yeah. We've talked about that. We've talked about maybe that's the way that they should do things. But they win the toss, they always defer.
I'm curious, though, if the Broncos win the toss, what they do.
Well, there's the X factor. See, I think that if you lose the toss, let's say if Denver or whoever else you're playing against, if you win the toss, do you really want to defer yourself and give Brady the chance to do exactly what David just said?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you think you have on. I mean, like, if you're a team like Baltimore, Houston,
mm-hmm.
that has a excellent defense, yeah, maybe you say, sure, go ahead, show us what you got. We'll take the ball in the second half. We'll take that chance. Denver, I don't know. I wonder if they want to get Manning rolling early, you know, and say, you know, we like our chances against your defense, New England.
Okay.
I'm interested to see what happens if Denver wins the toss this week, what they do with it.
Interesting. Chad sends this email. He says, hello, Rook and Eric, who, by the way, has the talent to pick against the Pats every week and make them sound like the 2008 Detroit Lions. 10-7, Eric, really? What was that?
No. I said they were going to win by 7 to 10 points.
Oh, okay.
Not 10-7. Pay attention.
Is that what you said at the end of PFW?
Yeah.
Okay. He says, now, John, I'm making a prediction right away, and I'm sure Eric will shout at that one. Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil won't have a sack. They're just not talented enough to overpower our two brick walls, Vollmer and Solder. I'd be concerned if it was Jared Allen out there, but it's not. The D-line has to stuff the run as much as possible and force Manning to throw. The more he throws because he has to, not because he wants to, and then he'll force the ball. He's capable of turning the ball over three times in one quarter. I just don't think the Broncos are as operational as the Patriots on offense, especially in the first weeks of the season. Thoughts?
I'll be stunned if he doesn't get sacked at least once. I mean, that's a good combination there.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be, you know, they might not be the biggest. Certainly Dumervil's case, he's not the biggest pass rushing guy, but neither was Dwight Freeney.
Right.
And he did a good job of getting to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't think Brady's going to be on his ass 95% of the time, but I think it's outrageous to think that he's not going to get sacked at least once.
Yeah.
Against as good a tandem
probably,
as those two are,
so.
You know?
All right. Hey, we did promise at the last break that we would update the practice report.
Yes.
So for those that may be tuning in or missed what you update during PFW, mm-hmm. if we can get that update, because we do have some roster moves to announce.
Sure, but you want the good or the bad news first?
Let's go with bad first.
Bad first? Okay. No Rob Gronkowski, who did speak to reporters in the locker room before we went out there. And typically, you don't do that if you're an injured guy who's not going to be playing that week. So that was a little bit of an anomaly.
Do we know why?
Well, he hurt his hip last Friday.
Right.
Was questionable for the Bills game. Had a heck of a game, but is obviously still suffering some effects from that injury that he got in practice on Friday last week. So,
yep.
You know, not good that he's not out there. Now, we could get the injury report, and he maybe could have gone out later and been limited. I don't know, but usually when a guy is not there to start, he's usually not there at all. So, not good news there. Michael Ho'omanawanui left the Bills game early. He wasn't out there, nor was Aaron Hernandez. I have an update on him, though. Steve Gregory, who seemed to get tweaked in the second half of that Bills game, and Julian Edelman remains out. Saw Hernandez today in the locker room. He sort of breezed through, was kind of briskly, I would say was the term I use, walking. He had just been done with a workout, had a little bit of like a one of those medical sleeves slash wraps kind of things on his ankle, but seemed to be doing much, much better than when we saw him last,
okay. Which
is a good sign. So now I know you're saying, well, what about Dont'a Hightower, who didn't play most of that Bills game? He was out there. Saw him in the locker room today,
too. Good sign.
And
especially in light of the roster move that was made today.
Yes. And Dont'a said, I can't talk today, but maybe Friday.
Okay.
So the fact that he's out there doing that, that's a very good sign. Brandon Dedrick also returned with an ankle injury, and Logan Mankins, I'm burying the lead a little bit here, but was back at practice after not practicing all last week and not playing against Buffalo.
It's so very encouraging.
Very encouraging there.
Help your depth, right?
Now, they cut defensive lineman Terrell McClain,
right,
who they signed last week,
right,
and brought back linebacker Bobby Carpenter. Everybody was assuming, oh, this is insurance, obviously, for Hightower, and it still might be because, you know, it's hamstring. Those things are very, very fickle. They could feel pretty good, feeling like you're getting there. You do one wrong thing and you snap it again.
We said that yesterday, that,
you know? Like,
don't be surprised. In fact, we called it here on the program yesterday. Don't be surprised if Carpenter got the call.
Right.
And I like Carpenter over Tarpinian getting the move up from...
Yeah, veteran-wise.
Yes, because he's more familiar, I think, with some of the things that he'll see from a guy like Manning.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, he's more experienced doing it, and he did decently, I thought, during the summer. He was a guy I was kind of surprised didn't make the 53 initially.
I was too. I have to admit, I was surprised. I understand they wanted to go with the youth, but I also thought that if Carpenter didn't get picked up, he was a shoo-in to come back. And
yeah.
I'm a little surprised he hadn't been picked up by now. It is the fifth week.
Yeah.
But that's bonus for the Patriots.
Sure.
Because I would expect, unless somebody just completely outplays him, the Carpenter, they'll probably find a way to keep him around for a while.
Possibly.
Well, again, you got Hightower. You don't want to throw him back in there before he's ready to go because the hamstring can be somewhat problematic.
But the fact that he was out there at all today is surprising to me.
Well,
and I guess a little encouraging, but whenever a guy comes back that quickly from a hamstring... Now, I feel like Mike Ditka today. I'm not finishing my sentences. I don't know what the hell has gotten into me. Hightower stayed in full pads the entire game on the sideline, which is another anomaly. Usually when a guy is done, you shed at least the shoulder pads, or you even go into civilian clothes at halftime. He was in full pads that whole game, which I thought was kind of funny. So maybe it wasn't – maybe they were just being a little too cautious with him. I don't know. But he was out there today, and again, Mankins was back. Those are both very encouraging signs.
No question.
For both of those players.
All right. And, of course, as we said, the big roster move was Bobby Carpenter getting signed. We should also probably mention that Tom Brady was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Offensive Player of the Week. That's right. For his prolific performance. They made one other move on the roster, bringing back tight end Alex Silvestro.
Adding him to the practice squad.
To the practice squad. They got rid of one of their three offensive linemen, Thomas Austin. They just can't catch a break at tight end this year with the injuries. Every tight end that has been on this team, I think except for Tyler Urban, the rookie free agent, has been hurt. Urban, I think, just didn't make the team.
Right.
I don't think he had an injury, if I recall. But every other tight end that they've brought in has been hurt and missed time. It's crazy. So the only two tight ends out there at practice today were Silvestro and Daniel Fells.
Good grief.
Mm.
That's not exactly who you want to go into battle with, is it?
Well, but they probably won't go into battle with them. Although, you know.
I mean that with all due respect to the guys.
Yeah,
there,
No, I mean, with Gronk, though, it's similar to what Mankins dealt with the week before. We talked about this at the end of PFW. He had a hip injury that limited him in practice. He played in the following game and then missed the entire next week of practice and then missed a game. Gronk got hurt at the end of practice last week with a hip, was limited, questionable, played well, actually, and now misses his first practice subsequently.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to hope that the trend isn't following a similar pattern as Mankin's situation, because it's not good if he can't play against Denver.
Got it. Okay. All right, so there you go. That's the latest on the roster update and the practice update as well. And we'll wait for the injury report to come out.
About an hour or so. Maybe a little bit later, only because of Denver and the time zone difference.
Might be.
So it could be maybe more like 5-ish.
Might be.
But just before the evening is upon us.
All right, quick key to where you think this thing is going to boil down to on Sunday. All right, we'll get into more of it tomorrow,
yeah.
But just what your thinking is right now about this matchup.
How much this defense can rattle Manning? Because when they've played Manning in the last few times, their defense really hadn't been even as productive as it's been so far this year. And I wonder if they don't have enough playmakers now to maybe do what, say, the Falcons did to him a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
You know, mix things up enough, get pressure on him enough where he's where the Manning face shows up, where we haven't seen that against this team in quite a while. So that's where I'm going.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow.
All righty.
Right?
I'll be here.
In the 2 o'clock hour. We'll take a break here. We're going to get to all of your emails. Thank you for all of your lists, because our question of the day has to do with where you see Peyton Manning fitting into the, shall we say, pantheon of current quarterbacks in the NFL. Is he in your top five right now, as of week 5 here in the 2012 NFL season? So to that end, who are your top 5 quarterbacks in the game today, right now? And do you put an emphasis on where the team is now or what the quarterback has done in the past as you figure out your top 5 lists? Email us, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook and @JRook0722 on Twitter. Hour number 2 is We're Into It, plus Mark Johnson from KOA Radio in Denver, coming up in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy 4 select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, D-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Webradio at patriots.com. The email, john.rook. Facebook, at jrook0722. The Twitter. Hour number two here in the playbook, Mark Johnson from KOA Denver joins us in 20 minutes. The question of the day has to do with who you believe are your top five quarterbacks in the league today. Today is what? October the 3rd, or as I like to say, October the 3rd, 2012, week five of the NFL season. Who are the top five? And I asked the question because there's some conjecture as to whether or not Peyton Manning, who will be here with his Denver Broncos Sunday afternoon, some question as to whether or not Peyton Manning belongs in that group among the elite quarterbacks of the game right now. Now, all time, you probably have to throw him in there. He did win a Super Bowl. But right now, it's a legitimate question, I think. Curious to your answers. Got a bunch of them here. Going to start getting to them. On Facebook, Tim says, the league is better with Peyton in it. We talked about this outside of the show, but here's a question to you. What does it say about Peyton if they don't do as well as last year's Bronco team? That's an excellent question. He says, for me, it's just outside the top five. He's just outside the top five right now, but as the team gels around him, that can soon change. He says, good call on Carpenter's return, by the way. Yep. Yep, we had that. Had that one yesterday.
Yeah, I sent you that email this
morning. You did. Thank you.
First thing I saw it, I was like, oh, that rookie's done it again.
You play a hunch sometimes, right? But I felt like that was going to happen, and sure enough, it did. What does it say about Peyton if the Broncos don't do as well as last year's team? And I think you kind of touched on it there, Tim, for just a moment, because, frankly, Peyton is so far ahead, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, and I've heard some other opinions that are similar to this, and I actually agree with this. Peyton is so far ahead in terms of his skills and his understanding of the game that, frankly, his Bronco teammates have got to catch up a little bit. And even though he might not be as physically prepared as he has been in his previous years, his mental game is just way advanced. And I think it's going to be up to his teammates to catch up, and the Broncos system really to catch up with him. This is not a situation where he has to catch up to what the Broncos are doing. Broncos have got to catch up to what Peyton Manning does. That in itself is a compliment enough to Peyton Manning and his ability to be a quarterback and to be an effective quarterback in this day and age. So if they don't make the playoffs, it will probably negatively reflect on him. But it won't lessen my opinion of him at all, because to me that will just say I don't think they caught up with him. I think we've already seen, even though he's had a couple of good games and a couple of rather mediocre games, I think we've already seen that he looks like he can still get it done. He might not be the same Peyton that we've been used to seeing over the last few years, but he's pretty close. And I'm wondering if the Colts didn't pull the trigger a little bit too early on him. I get the need for the Colts wanting to move on, but I wonder. Legitimate question, anyway. Mary Beth says her top five: Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers. Okay, I get that. Brady, Manning, Ryan, Rodgers. I've got everybody in there except for Ryan. I don't have Matt Ryan in there. In my five, I have inserted Ben Roethlisberger. Michael says on Facebook, as to the argument of Peyton getting hit hard, I don't want to see a catastrophic hit. However, he makes and has made the choice to play. He's taken the risk, and someone, sometime, is going to hit him hard. And then as far as his top five, he says Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Eli Manning, and Matt Ryan. There's a toss-up between Matt Ryan and Ben Roethlisberger, but right now, Peyton and Ben are not there right now. John, you have to explain why right now Peyton is in the top five. I understand the past, but now I just don't see it. Okay, that's a fair question. Fair question, Michael. I'd say largely because we know his ability. And again, that's because we've seen him play in the past. So that does enter into the equation what he's done in the past. But, see, I would argue in Peyton's case, what he's done in the past has helped certainly make him the quarterback that he remains today, if that makes any sense to you at all. I mean, his presence and his ability is overwhelming. We know this as well as anybody being Patriots fans, because we've seen him have success. Now, he's got a losing record against the Patriots. He's got a losing record if you do a man-to-man matchup with Tom Brady, even though they don't really face off against each other. I always think those kind of numbers are funny. Just because I think Brady's one-loss record against Manning is 8-4. I'm like, okay, what does that really mean? Because they don't get to face each other. It's not like Manning's out there trying to pick him off and vice versa. But anyway, I think Manning is to the stature where you have to consider what he's done in the past as part of his present, even if he might not be quite as physically healthy. I mean, after Tom Brady tore up his knee a few years back when Bernard Pollard got to him, even though Brady was gone for the rest of the year, didn't you still consider Tom Brady one of the best quarterbacks in the game? See, I know Patriots fans would answer, well, of course. Well, that's kind of what I'm doing with Peyton Manning in this instance. And I hope that makes some sense to you, Michael. He says, I don't take too much from the Wednesday injury reports. They provide some information and some discussion. However, quite often the teams use Wednesday as a recovery day or a personal day or as a planning day for the upcoming game. Additionally, Belichick is smart to list a number of players on the report because this keeps teams guessing as to what is serious, yet the report complies with league policy. As to the argument that the discussion that injury reports promote opposing players to attack vulnerabilities, that argument is true and the report should be eliminated. You know, in a sense, yeah, I think I get that. I don't think there's a whole lot of targeting done, even though it might be done somewhat subliminally, but because of what happened with Bounty Gate and the Saints, I can't imagine that teams are consciously going to tell, hey, so-and-so's got a hurt ankle, go hit it. I don't think we're going to see that happen. And if they do it, certainly isn't going to be where anybody else can hear it. John sends this on Facebook. He says, JR, didn't you see that Monday night game in week two when Peyton threw three of the worst interceptions I've ever seen? That's pretty current if you're looking for the best quarterbacks now. Thank you, sir. And he says, P.S., I still respect the heck out of him. Good point, J.D. That's a good point. I did see that. But again, I would answer that by saying I think Manning has gotten to the point in his career where, you know what, if he's going to make a screw-up like that, just answer this question for me, okay? Maybe this is the best way that I can explain it. If you had a quarterback and Peyton Manning, or if you had a football team and Peyton Manning was your quarterback, would you feel good about it or bad about it? I'm not asking you to answer, you know, who's available. I'm saying if Peyton Manning was your quarterback, would you say, oh, good? Or would you say, oh, crap? What would you say? And I think most of you would say, oh, good. Hall of Famer, right? So I think my overall impression is that, yeah, he threw three picks in that game, and I think you're willing to allow him to get some of that rust off because he did miss all of last year. But he's risen his game and his reputation to the stature where I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt in terms of being one of the top quarterbacks in the game today. His team is still playoff caliber. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they are still playoff caliber, right? Now, that may change. If Denver falls, and I mentioned this earlier, if Denver slips, then I could see Peyton Manning slipping out of that top five as well because Denver made the playoffs last year with Tim Tebow. So if they don't make the playoffs this year with Peyton Manning, I could understand why you would make that reach, even though it may not have anything to do with Manning's play. It could be, you know, other significant injuries or what have you somewhere else on the team that would affect Denver's ability to get into the postseason. It's a good argument. It is a good argument. There's really not a right or a wrong answer. It's a pretty good argument. All right, elsewhere. Here's a Kat, and she says, John, here's my top five. All guys who I would be happy with as my quarterback, by the way. She says, Brady, Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco, and Matt Ryan. That's the first vote we've gotten for Flacco. And then Kat says, I still think Peyton is solid. I've watched a lot of his games. My husband is a Colts fan, and I can't write him off yet. If he couldn't quarterback, I would still want him on my bench coaching up my guys. I've liked Flacco for a few years. He looks like he's finally coming into his own. I think Matt Ryan is dependable. He might not be flashy, but he has the skills. God, you just have to appreciate a woman who can break down quarterbacks like that, huh? Oh, Kat, that's an excellent job by you, as always. Good reasons, though, and I agree with you about Flacco, and I had to think about Flacco because Baltimore right now, I'd have to say that Flacco's got to be on the edge, too. I left Breeze out, and we've had a lot of people include Breeze. For instance, Sean on Facebook says, John, my top five right now are number 12, Brady, Rodgers, Ryan, Schaub, and Breeze. And he says, we'll win by 10 against Manning, Peyton. Alan on Facebook says, John, my top five are Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Ryan, and Vic. First vote for Michael Vick. Brady and Rodgers are no-brainers. Even though the Saints are 0-4, Breeze is still one touchdown away from breaking a long-lasting NFL record. I've always been impressed with Matty Ice. I like the guy, and as much as I hate him, Vic can still do some damage both in the air and on the ground. A healthy Peyton for me would slot in at no worse than number 3, but he clearly has lost some arm strength since his surgery. Big Ben also barely missed the cut. It was close, but I had to bench him. I also gave consideration to the 4-0 Schaub, keeping in mind that when healthy last year, they were on their way to a number 1 seed, and when he went down, they lost some games. Who knows what might have been? I also gave consideration to Rivers. 3 years ago, he'd have made it. Now he's not even in the discussion. And then he says, P.S., I did everything I could not to let Eli in my top five. Once again, showing your bias. That's all right. Brian on Facebook says, no doubt Manning can lead the Broncos deep. People have thrown him dirt on him for interceptions, but he always was a gunslinger who threw plenty of picks. Just ask Ty Law. I think the Broncos have tremendous potential. The only thing holding them back is the chemistry isn't there yet. My top five QBs today are Brady, Manning, Eli Manning, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and Robert Griffin III. How about that one? He says, I'm a doubter of RG3, but the guy has reminded me of John Elway with the way he just rifles his team down the field. And he does it with little talent around him. All these guys are never out of a game, but Brady's the only one of the five who doesn't occasionally throw his team out of a game, which is why he's number one. Something is off with Aaron Rodgers this year, so I can't put him on the list today. Good thoughts, Brian. Let's go to Lars on Facebook. Top five QBs, Brady, Eli, Rodgers, Ryan, Cutler. And then in parentheses he says, yes, Jay Cutler, I mean it. Okay. That's kind of interesting. Okay, let's see. Who else do we have? We got a few others here that I want to get to. Morgan says, first, I must say yes, Peyton is still an elite quarterback. As for my top five, going 5-4-3-2-1 here in reverse order, he says, Rottenberger, spelling intentional, Rodgers, Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, number one. Okay? I think we're getting to a consensus here. This is interesting. Ryan on Facebook, John, my top five QBs right now, Rodgers 1, Brady 2, well, that's honest, Eli's 3, Brees 4, Matt Ryan 5, no Peyton. Okay. All right, all very, very good comments, legitimate lists and reasons. So keep them coming, keep them coming. John.Rook on Facebook, at JRook0722 Twitter. Michael says, rather have Peyton than Romo, Cutler, or plenty of other quarterbacks. Sure, I'd feel good with him as my quarterback, but it doesn't mean he's in my top five. Vic is too risky, too injury-prone, turns over the ball too much, does not study the game, does not know when to end a play with a slide or throw it away. Legitimate points, Michael. Legitimate points. Okay, now to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Got a bunch of them here. I'll get to them as quickly and as many of them as I can. Ross on the email says his top five QBs are Brady, Rodgers, Ryan, Brees, Flacco. Second vote for Joe Flacco. Actually, third vote for Joe Flacco that we've had in there, making the top five. Now, here's a sort of a Zen question. If Steven Gostkowski's kick is good against Baltimore, do you put Joe Flacco still in your top five? See, I don't think so. I think it's because
he wouldn't have him in there anyway.
No, well, yeah, I get that. I have to admit, he's not in mine. I gave you my top five. I'll give it again here. But, you know, I can understand why, if you had him in now, I can understand why you'd leave him out, because he did have a great game. But would he have had any less of a great game if Gostkowski's kick, which missed basically by what, 6 inches? Less? Probably less, right? Does he have any less of a game? And is any less of a quarterback if Gostkowski's kick is 3 inches to the left? But it's all in the perception. And if the Patriots actually won that game, my guess is that nobody has Flacco as one of their top fives, maybe except for Cat. Maybe except for Cat. All right, let me get a couple more in here. D.
He might be around 10 for me.
You think he's in 10th?
Somewhere
really?
Around there.
So who would you put ahead of him, though, Kevin?
I was just thinking of guys off the top of my head. I would put Brady, Rodgers, Brees, Phillip Rivers. I'd put Schaub. I'd put
Ryan. Hold on. Okay, hold on. Preface this before you go on with your top five. Who's your top five?
Oh, let's think.
Come on, come on, come on. Who's the top five?
I'd probably say Rodgers first.
Okay.
I'd probably say Brady second.
That's fair.
Brees third. Then it's like this muddled area.
Make a pick. Get off the fence.
No, I'll say Schaub fourth.
Okay.
I'll say
no Eli.
Say, it's Eli or Shaw. I mean, I think they're both top five. We'll put it that way. We'll say Eli fifth just because you're putting the gun in my head. But well, then there's like there's
all right,
guys.
So who are the other guys then that you'd have ahead of Flacco?
Like Matt Ryan.
Okay.
I put Roethlisberger, who I think I said.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're up to like seven or eight now.
Yeah, it's seven
so
right there.
So I think he's somewhere between there and 10.
Oh, okay.
I have to look at the
rest. All right,
so
now you're moving him up a little bit because at
no,
first
we just
you had him
through.
Outside
no,
your
no,
top
we
10.
Went through,
come on.
Listen. We went through Rodgers. We went through Brady, Breeze, Eli,
yeah.
Schaub,
mm-hmm.
Ryan, Roethlisberger. I'd put Peyton Manning ahead of him. There's eight.
Okay.
So now he's ninth. So somewhere I'd put him somewhere in that range.
9 or 10.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you have Peyton down at 8 then.
I'm not big on Flacco.
All right. D in Waterville, Maine says top five: Brady, Rogers, Schaub, Eli. Much as it pains me to say it, and Drew Brees says I wouldn't put Peyton in the top five. Last game I saw Peyton in was the Monday night debacle, and he was horrible. I think he's lost his touch. As a Facebook poster mentioned a short while ago, I get it. But I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt, and I think he's improving to that point. Josh from Seville. I had a few free seconds at work. Thought I'd mail in with my 2 cents. Here are my top five quarterbacks in the NFL, in my opinion. Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Eli. And yes, I was hesitant, but Peyton Manning is at the five spot. Take care, guys, and as always, love the show. Thank you, Josh. I almost am agreeing with that one, with the exception of Breeze. And again, I realize you're talking. Most everybody's thinking of this in an overall sense. Who are the five best quarterbacks? I added a little bit of a codicil to that. I want you to tell me who the top five are today, week five of the 2012 season. So I think you have to enter into discussion somewhat the current state of the current team that these quarterbacks play for. And to me, that kind of takes Breeze out of the discussion in the top five. Now, I realize overall he's probably going to be in there. In fact, I'd be hard-pressed to leave him out just because of the numbers that he's put up and what he's done and what he's meant to the New Orleans team. But New Orleans is clearly hamstrung this year. You know, whether it's Bounty Gate or, you know, missing Sean Payton or the injuries that they've had or whatever it may be, they're 0-for. So I don't know how you can put a quarterback with an 0-for for a team in the top five in the league. Unless, of course, his team just sucks horribly. And I don't know that the Saints do. I mean, I realize they're not very good right now, but, you know, how far have the mighty really fallen here? I think that's legit. All right, let me get one more, and then we're going to get a break, and then we'll continue. So if you haven't had a chance to chime in yet, think about it. Send us your email, webradio@patriots.com. You can call at 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can send it via Facebook at John.Rook, or you can go Twitter at JRook0722. Top five quarterbacks in the game today, week five, 2012 NFL season. Brian says, Brady, Manning is Peyton 2, Eli 3, Rodgers 4, and Big Ben 5. That's my list. That's my list right there, with exception. I've got Big Ben 4 and Rodgers 5, but it's probably a matter of semantics there. Brady can just control the game and a defense when he really needs to, and the same goes with Peyton as well as when they're at their best. Eli is definitely getting up there, but I don't think that he has willpower to control a defense like his older brother and Brady can do. Rodgers has so many capabilities, but he's still missing that true edge to control a defense, especially in crunch time. Yeah, there's just a little something-something about Rodgers, right? And then he says Big Ben can just hurt you in so many ways and can extend plays like nobody else can. All right, Brian, that's good thoughts. All good thoughts right there. Still plenty of time for you to contribute your top five QBs. Do it. We'll take a break here, and we get into the Broncos. Mark Johnson from KOA Denver coming up in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
We're about to perform a radio first here on Patriots.com Radio because I have never had the opportunity nor have I had the pleasure of interviewing someone when they're out fly fishing, which is what Mark Johnson at KOA in Denver is doing. Are you kidding me, Mark? Fly fishing, really?
Hey, do you know how much I highly respect you? Because there aren't many people I'd step out of the river to come and do an interview with, but you're one of them.
Oh, my goodness, brother. You caught anything today?
You know, I told Kevin just a moment ago, yeah, just before I got the text message, I had about a real nice 20-inch rainbow that I caught and released. And so far, it's been a good day out here, yeah.
Sweet.
I'm up in Bailey, Colorado, which is west of Denver, up in the mountains about 45, 50 minutes.
I'm amazed that you're even able to get a signal from out of where you are.
You know, it's not, you know, just you know, wild Indians and cowboys out here. I mean, there's actual technology and everything.
I didn't mean it like that, but oh, my goodness. How are you, Mark? You obviously are doing well.
Yeah, doing very well. And I tell you what, it's fun to talk Broncos football right now because they're playing real football. I mean, like we've come to know and love in the National Football League, not like they were doing last year when it was kind of the circus all the time every time they went and played somebody. So, you know, John, it's been kind of fun this year with Peyton Manning.
What kind of a difference has Manning meant to the team beyond his on-field talents, and how has it sort of, you know, compared and contrasted, as you said, to the circus that was in town last year?
Well, you know, we all know the reputation of Peyton Manning, and you know, I was well aware of it before he came and became a member of the Denver Broncos, and that is, you know, the perfectionist, the workaholic, the guy that everything's about detail and precision. Well, what I had heard pales in comparison by what I've seen kind of firsthand with what he's done with his team. I think what it's done, last year we wondered about talent for the Denver Broncos. Well, with this guy coming on board and raising the level of everybody there, because it's that old idea about, you know, tides raise and lower all ships, mm-hmm. Everyone's tried to at least, you know, catch up to where he kind of performs all the time in terms of his off the field, the way he goes about his business. And I think everybody on this team has become better now as a result of that. I think the franchise runs smoother, and I'm not trying to, you know, overemphasize what this guy's done, because, I mean, it's really been amazing to see, you know, the effect he's had from beyond the field play to in the locker room to the coaching staff to the way the PR staff works. It's really been amazing to watch.
Well, I think that sort of begs the follow-up here, because this part of the discussion we've had today, Mark, has been, you know, is Peyton Manning still an elite quarterback? Is he considered one of your top five? And I'd say that right now it's about 50-50 amongst Patriots fans as to whether or not that is the case. And then as an aside to that, the question has been asked, well, where do you put him if Denver's team doesn't end up as good team-wise as they did a year ago? Because under Tebow, they did make the playoffs and did beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs. So is it possible you could have a better team and not go as far with Peyton?
Well, I do think that's a possibility. I mean, the schedule early on this season, the first 8 or 9 games is just, I mean, it's brutal. You know, some of the elite quarterbacks they've faced. They face obviously Tom Brady this week, and they had Ben Roethlisberger the first week. Now, Matt Shaw might not be, you know, one of the top five quarterbacks, but I'll tell you what, I think the Houston Texans might be the best team in the National Football League right now. And so it has been one very good team after another. So I do think that's a possibility. Now, with that being said, and in that same question, John, we've debated here in Denver, is he still one of the top five guys? Now, I do think he's still kicking off some rust. I mean, but what he does mentally, and I'm not sure there's ever been anybody that has manipulated a game the way he does mentally. That's something I think is unmatched in this league. Are there some questions about him physically? Well, maybe to some degree at this point in time, but I don't think he's as sharp as maybe he was, you know, 2-3 years ago with Indianapolis physically. But I'm still not quite certain that he can't get there again, because it seems as though every game I see a little bit more improvement from him, and so that makes me believe maybe he can reach the level, or at least close to it, that he was before.
Well, that's an interesting point, because the fact remains that the mental part of the game is why the Patriots went out and signed Bobby Carpenter to a linebacker deal to help out with the depth there, with Dante Hightower's availability being up in the air. They could have simply moved up a guy like a younger kid like Jeff Tarpinian, who played college football at Iowa. They could have moved him into the mix, but they like the fact that Carpenter has more experience and has more veteran, shall we say, savvy against a guy like Manning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you need that. I mean, one of the most interesting things I've seen this year, in that season-opening game against Pittsburgh, the Broncos obviously win that game, but there was a chess match going on, and it was interesting to watch between a guy like Peyton Manning and Troy Polamalu, because many times he keys what they do on that Steelers defense, and he was walking. There was one time in the second half, he comes up and kind of changes his position. Manning checks off. Polamalu alters himself again. Manning actually stepped back and watched him for a little while. Then, I mean, it was like watching two great chess masters go after each other. And so I'm not surprised to hear what you're talking about with the Patriots. You've got to have guys on the other side of the ball from Peyton Manning that understand and get the whole back and forth, the ebb and flow of the chess match that goes on, because that's the way he plays. You know, Tom Brady does that in a large part as well. But I just think, you know, Manning's been, I think, maybe a little bit different than we've ever seen anybody do that. So that's been the most interesting thing for me to follow.
All right, well, let's talk then about the weapons that he has at his disposal for that offense. Clearly, you know, the elements of the run game are there. Willis McGahee is still seems to be pretty durable. He's got some wideouts he can throw to. Developing a tight end, it looks like he's beginning to get all these pieces together. Question is, can this offense develop into something that was as explosive as what he was used to having in Indianapolis?
Well, and I think it can. And the reason I say that is because if you go back and look at some of the weapons he had, some of the guys he had at his disposal with Indianapolis. It's not like we were talking about a bunch of Hall of Fame guys there. He was using some guys that were, you know, relatively average guys that he elevated and made better, just like we've seen Tom Brady do. Now, what we've seen early on here, he's been very effective with two guys, that being Brandon Soakley, the slot guy, and the tight end Jacob Tammy, both of whom, by the way, he had in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. There have been some moments with Eric Decker, with Thomas, where it hasn't clicked at times, and you can see the communication afterward where he either goes and talks to him either immediately on the field where he kind of gets in their backside, or on the sideline where he takes him aside and talks to him. And that's the thing. I had a conversation with Eric Decker here a few weeks ago, and the thing he said he's trying to grasp and understand and work on is the precision that Manning works on. He said, I thought I understood football. This guy's taken me beyond that. So I do think with some of these young guys, there's going to be a learning curve with those guys. But like I said, you know, Tammy and Stokely, the guy he's worked with before, I mean, he's had a great connection with them so far. So I do think this can be a very good offense by the time it's all said and done. The offensive front, I think, is very good, very underrated from a year ago when people thought that they were the responsibility of getting Tim Tebow sacked all the time. Little did we know, you know, he had no pocket presence. But that group is very good. They can give him protection. I think he's got guys that are talented enough to be pretty effective around him.
Well, one of those guys that are will be in front of him, will be hiking him the ball, is a former Patriot in Dan Copen, who I guess is Johnny on the spot, right place, right time. He steps in for an injury. Now he's going to start against his old team. Which somebody's got to talk to him, Mark, and I'm sure maybe you guys already have, but ask him what it's like to snap to two future Hall of Famers, especially he's going to snap to one of them in a familiar place that he snapped to the other guy for a decade.
Yeah, you know, what an amazing deal there. And I'll tell you what, this is kind of an interesting deal. I don't think, and this is kind of widely considered here in the Denver area, and that is that the Broncos weren't necessarily happy with J.D. Walton up front. And there seems to be some thought coming out of the team that when Walton went down last week and Copen came in, they actually performed better. And it appeared, just kind of watching the game, it appeared that Manning wasn't as active with calling out a lot of things. And the idea is that maybe J.D. Walton wasn't fully handling all the mental gymnastics, but a veteran guy like Copen can do that because he's done it so many years in the National Football League, and that maybe they'll be more efficient with him up front right now. And so, you know, the belief seems to be, at least the thought here, is that this might actually be an upgrade for the Broncos at center.
Wow, that's interesting. All right, well, that's good to know. Mark Johnson, sports director at KOA Radio in Denver, joining us here in the playbook. And getting any nibbles, Mark?
I tucked myself in a crevice on a cliff away so the wind doesn't get to me, just so I've got a clear signal for you.
Crevice in a cliff. Please don't step off the cliff, all right?
You know, so if my phone goes dead, I'm actually stepped into a mountain lion down here, I apologize.
God. Oh, love it. You're helping me make radio history here, I think. All right, let's flip it to the other side quickly before you go off the cliff.
Sure.
Defensively, with guys like Dumervil that can put pressure up front, I think we all know that it's incumbent upon teams, if they're going to beat New England, you've got to find a way to put pressure with your four as best you can on Brady and then hope that your back guys can kind of hold the fort. Do you feel like Denver still feels that way about having to try to defense Tom Brady?
Well, you mentioned Elvis Dumervil, and then, of course, on the other side, they've got a pretty good one as well. And, you know, last year's, first-round draft pick and defensive rookie of the year in Von Miller. And so they feel pretty good about being able to get pressure. Now, the one of those two guys that seems to struggle at times is Dumervil. He's a little bit undersized, as we all know. He's 5'11" on a good day, 235, 240 pounds. Von Miller is probably quicker than Dumervil is, believe it or not. And, you know, he stands 6'3", 6'4", and weighs about 250. And so they've got the personnel to do that. And so the key for them has been getting those guys in the interior front, have kind of eaten up some blocks up there to free up the two guys on the edge to get to the quarterback. And they've had mixed results, I think, at this point in time. I think we finally saw Dumervil making some plays last week in the victory over Oakland, where I think Von Miller's been a bit more consistent. We're seeing Miller now. Last year, that was kind of his deal. I mean, he pinned his ears back and went. That's all he could seem to figure out how to do. You see his game evolving a little bit as he's starting to learn now in year number two as an NFL player. So, you know, those two guys have been good. And keep in mind, they upgraded on the back end of the defense. I've always had Champ Bailey, not Tracy Ford, and the other side. They feel real good about those two back there, so they can give those guys up front a chance to get at the quarterback. And so I think they made some nice moves during the offseason. And so far, I think we're seeing a little bit of improvement in that regard for over 2011.
Do you think that this defense can still improve based on the fact that these guys are still largely learning, I guess, Jack Del Rio's system?
Yeah, well, I think so. You know, and when, by what I just said, don't think that I think it's one of the top defenses in the NFL, John, because it's not. I mean, okay, there are still some holes. They have not gotten much linebacker play so far. Of course, DJ Williams has been suspended. Joe Mays, who's starting middle linebacker, he was out last game because of a suspension that was handed down by Roger Goodell. And so they haven't gotten great play from their linebacking core, and safety's been a bit of an issue. Brian Dawkins isn't back there anymore like he used to be. And so you're missing that kind of leader back there. So there are some holes. But on the edges, those two corners and those two guys that come off the edge, you know, they're pretty good right there. But they've got to get a little bit better, you know, up the middle, as we like to say. And so I think this defense can get better, but there are some concerns that I'm interested in watching over the next few weeks.
Well, you mentioned Von Miller, who certainly had an impact back there defensively. Yeah. Who else, somebody that perhaps we're not as aware of, that maybe beginning to show that they've got the ability to come up and play kind of like Von Miller?
You know, the other top defensive draft pick they had this year, Derek Wolfe,
right,
has become an interesting guy for me. Defensive lineman, plays a little bit inside, a little bit on the edge, and so he's a little bit versatile that way. He's a high motor guy, and I didn't know a lot about him, you know, not being in the Big East as I used to with you years ago, but him coming out of Cincinnati, I didn't know a lot about him. And so a couple of guys I called and talked to, that's what they talked about, his motor. And that's the thing we've seen from him. Young player. And he's not there consistently at this point in time, but he is a high-motor guy that I think might develop into a nice player for them. And so he's a guy, at least at this point, that intrigues me, and I want to see more of him.
Yeah, co-defensive player in the Big East last year at Cincinnati. Obviously, I had a chance to see him play several times. And I remember when Denver picked him, and I'm like, wow, that's a really good spot where they took him, because I thought he had the capability of being a disruptive force. As you said, he's got the motor. You just want to see him do it on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I think a lot of times for those guys in those types of positions, I mean, the consistency comes with the understanding of exactly what they're dealing with. You know, and sometimes he gets out there, and I think he gets lost a little bit. And so, you know, as he improves and matures a little bit, I think, over the course of not only this season but seasons to come, he'll get better in that regard. But right now he's a guy that in spots really shows you something for the Broncos.
Yeah. In fact, for Patriots fans, I liken him actually to a lot like Jake Beckett, who was their third-round pick out of Arkansas, in terms of their size and their ability. But Wolf gets the edge right now simply because, as you said, he's got that motor, he's got that energy about him that seems to be a little bit more of a disruptive force, at least early in his career.
Yeah. Now, he's a nice player, and I think he will be something. He's getting mixed reviews here in town. I mean, there are some that some former Broncos have been kind of on him a little bit about he should be making more of an impact. But, you know, people got to remember, he was a second-round draft pick here. It wasn't like he was a top-10 guy, and so I think you've got to give him a little bit of a grace period anyway to see him develop.
All right, well, Mark, then the bottom line is that at this team, Denver can score some points. They look like they've got some pieces in place defensively to be able to be disruptive or at least slow down the quarterback, no matter who it might be, Brady this week or somebody else next week. What does this team have to do then to be a contender like it was a year ago if they're not already?
Well, and, you know, John, the thing that really plays in their favor is the fact that they play in the AFC West. It's not like you're going to have a 15-1 or 14-2 team come out of this division. They backed into that division title, and then, boy, you know, don't get me started on the Tebow Maniacs, and then they talked about last year after their 8-8 winning a division and going to the playoffs, and albeit they beat Pittsburgh, and give them credit for that. But I do think they're going to have to improve upon that record. I think San Diego's a pretty good team. They're going to have to, I think, probably get the 10 wins to win this division, and, you know, then that'll better, of course, last year by a couple of games. But I think Manning's got to continue to get back to where he was, so continue to kind of kick the rust off. The young guys that he's dealing with Thomas and Decker and those guys at the receiver spot, they've got to begin to understand exactly what he's looking for. And then they do have to get better defensively, as we talked about. I think the linebacking corps got to play a little bit better. They got to get some better play at safety. And I think if they do those, they can be a threat. And I do think depending on what we've seen here early on, there are times they look like they're maybe a top 5 or 6 team in the AFC, and then other times not so much. So the consistency's got to a little bit better for them over the course of the season.
Final one for you, Mark. Is there any talk or any thought at all from the Broncos players about getting a chance to go up against Josh McDaniels?
Yes. You know, that's been certainly a conversation amongst the fandom right now. I can guarantee you that. I do think there's still some hard feelings there, you know, some exposed nerves from all that went down over the course of not quite 2 seasons when he was the head coach here. I think Josh is a brilliant guy. I think he is going to be a wonderful head coach at some point in time. I do think maybe he got the position a little bit ahead of the curve, the maturation curve. And so I do think there are some guys here that don't mind or wouldn't mind, you know, walking out of the W against their former head coach, though.
Happy fishing, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time today.
Hey, man, it's always good to catch up with you. Take care.
All right, you got it. Mark Johnson, who is the sports director at KOA Radio in Denver, and catching rainbow trout as we speak. Are you kidding me? That's a radio first. I'm very honored to be a part of that today. Let's get back to the emails. You've got some top five lists of your current top five quarterbacks in the league we want to get to. You've taken the time to share, so I'm going to take the time to share. Thank you for your input today. And this one comes from Tammy in New York, who says, my top five as of right now, Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Eli, as much as it pains me to say, and Ben, as much as it pains me to say as well, Ben Roethlisberger. Close to what we have. Next on the list comes from Wild Bill, displaced Pats fan in San Diego. Wild Bill says, Brady, Rodgers, Eli, Matt Ryan, and then Peyton. So he's got Peyton in his top five, just barely, but he's got him in there. Right now, based on the returns, Peyton is, I think, a little less than 50% of the top five list that I've seen thus far here, either Facebook or email. This one comes from Joel, who says, John, my top five QBs for week five, Brady, Rodgers, Matty Ice, Flacco, Big Ben. You know, okay, I'm not a huge Matt Ryan fan. I know he's a Boston College guy, and I used to do the games years ago. But I just, and I actually called the games for a couple of years when he was the Boston College quarterback. I don't know why. I don't think he's a top five guy. I think that you could make the argument for him this year, right now, based on the fact that Atlanta's 4-0.
His numbers are also ridiculous this year.
His numbers, and obviously the comeback that he had, you know, this last Sunday. I mean, they were on the one stinking yard line, right? But, okay. I understand why he's getting his props. I really do. And actually, I'm happy for him. Okay, here we go. Dave in Monterey, California. Absolutely, Peyton is still a great quarterback. His greatness is a rare combination between physical talent and football smarts. His football smarts compensate for minor drop-offs in physical talent. You know, Dave, that's probably as well said as anybody said it today. So I'll give you full credit for that. Full credit. That's a good way to put it. Says, as far as the top five, I have Brady, Peyton, Eli, Breeze, Rodgers. Okay, good top five list. All right, so that's another one for Peyton. So that puts him right at about 50% of the respondents now in the top five. Jeremy in Philadelphia. One, Brady. Second half last week tells it all. Two, Rodgers. Three, Breeze. Okay, more of a lifetime achievement award. Four, Ryan. Maybe the MVP thus far. And I guess I can understand, again, as I just said, why you'd have him included in your top five right now because of the way Atlanta has gotten off to a good start this year. And then number five, he says, Eli. Two Super Bowls and then take away the first half of one game this year, and he's been as good as anyone. Okay, that's a pretty solid list, Jeremy. Thank you. Sean in Vancouver, British Columbia says, I have to really emphasize that this top five is right now. Which quarterbacks have played the best this season up to now? This ranking will change. It won't even last a few weeks, but here it is so far. And he says, number one, Robert Griffin III. He's this season's Cam Newton. I know NFL defenses will figure him out. Just a matter of time until he comes back to earth. Two, Matt Ryan. He's for real, has a great team, is hitting his stride. Three, Drew Brees. Saints defense is so bad, but Brees is good enough to get a lot of points. Unfortunately, the Saints need even more to actually win. Number four, Tom Brady. Brady had a couple of poor games, but came alive against the Bills. Five, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Bills have been down by a lot of points and had to air it out. I expect him, though, to fall off the map very soon. He says, look for Rodgers and both Mannings to move into the top five before the second half of the season. Interesting that he's got Ryan Fitzpatrick in there. He's the only one that's said Fitzpatrick, especially after the four-pick performance this last week against New England. D says, you are contradicting yourself, John. You're asking for the top five QBs so far through week four, not of all time. Peyton has done nothing this year and should put him in the elite top five category for 2012 and 2013. D, I don't know. I don't know that I'm contradicting myself. I mean, I don't think so. Maybe we should ask somebody who probably would know as well as anybody else. It's Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts, who will be joining us here momentarily on Patriots.com radio. Is Peyton Manning still an elite guy right now?
He absolutely is, John, and we're going to tell you exactly why he is in the Cold Hard Football Facts in the next hour. But for a little sneak preview, the Denver Broncos right now, the best offense in football relative to the quality of the defenses they've played this year. They've scored a lot of points against some pretty tough defenses.
One of the other things that I have to mention is something you and I were just talking about off the air, because we've been getting a lot of Aaron Rodgers mentions in the list, and I squeezed Rodgers into my top five, but you kind of think that's he's a little overrated.
Well, listen, he's the highest-rated quarterback in NFL history. He puts up big numbers, but there is a flaw in his game, and we reported on this quite a bit. He does not win games, John. If he doesn't have the lead, he is 4-20 in comeback opportunities in his career. Only four comeback victories. You compare that to the elite quarterbacks in football who have 25, 30 comebacks, obviously more opportunities in the case of Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. But there are guys like John Skelton who already have seven comeback opportunities in their career. Eli Manning had seven fourth quarter comebacks last year alone. Aaron Rodgers, four comeback wins in his entire career so far. The one flaw in his game.
Wow. I would not have guessed that. And by the way, seven comebacks last year for Eli. If that doesn't tell you he belongs in the top five, I don't know what.
I agree. I've been drinking the Eli Manning Kool-Aid for quite some time, and I know Patriots fans don't like to hear it, but that drive in Super Bowl 42 got a little lucky, right? But granted, that's probably the greatest drive in NFL history to pull out a touchdown when they absolutely needed a touchdown against the only undefeated team in NFL history. That, to me...
Ahead of Joe Montana against Cincinnati?
Well, I mean, among modern quarterbacks. Okay. Oh, yeah, in terms of... Yeah, let me tell you why, because Joe Montana in that game could have settled for a field goal. Eli Manning's the only quarterback in history who needed a touchdown at the end of 2 minutes of a championship game and got it. Only one in history has done that, John. So you got to give the man his due. I know he's beaten the Patriots twice, but you got to give the man his due.
All right, Ross says, I had Breeze on the list at 0-4. If we beat the Ravens and they were 2-2, Flacco would still be my number five. Does Flacco belong on that list?
I don't think yet Flacco's a top five guy. I think he's knocking on the door, but there's just, you know, it's a lot of guys who are, you know, putting up pretty good numbers right now, and I don't know if Flacco's in my top five, John. I don't know what you think, but...
Dave says, if you're looking for the best current QBs, you have to have Cobb and Fitzpatrick in those conversations. So that said, I think that on any given Sunday, you have to fear Brady, Manning's, Breeze, Rodgers. I think the jury is still out on some others. I know there are arguments for Ryan and Flacco and Big Ben. Ryan needs to prove himself in the playoffs. Ben and Flacco don't have the same success without their defenses. Can't really put anybody else in the conversation. Romo, Vic, Schaub, they're not even on my radar. His five are Brady, Peyton, Eli, Breeze, Rodgers. Todd, nice job by your producer pulling a Peter King with a 10-player top five. Attaboy, Kevin. Want to go. And he says Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Eli. Okay, that's his top five. How many more do I got here? Arya says, all right, John, best answer the question of the day. I'd like to pose a hypothetical. Day one of training camp. I am Coach Harbaugh of Baltimore. Flacco goes down with a season-ending injury. If you asked me to pick a top five list that I'd go after to bring in and take over on day two, with this obvious caveat being I'm not thinking long-term due to the fact I have a veteran team that desperately needs to win now, this is my list of five QBs in the game as of today. Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Big Ben, Eli.
I'm a Big Ben guy myself, John. I think people overlook him all the time, but he's won two Super Bowls for a reason.
He made my list. Yeah, he made it. Let's see. Ross goes, oh, he's got top five.
Roethlisberger's is pretty bad. He's going to be a bushy one.
Or he's got a top five and a bottom five. His top five here, Ross says, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Ryan, Flacco. Bottom five, Sanchez, Fitzpatrick, Gabbert, Castle, Palmer.
Right now, hard to argue with that bottom five. You know, Fitzpatrick has had one bad game, but otherwise, hard to argue with that. At bottom five.
Mike from Toronto, my top five. Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Eli, Ryan. Breeze makes the list because he's on the verge of breaking Unitas' record for most games with consecutive touchdowns. He's doing his job, playing the position at as a high level as anyone else. Saints' problems aren't on him. Probably as good a point as any, even though I still have him out of it overall. All right, and then one more here to end it up with. This one comes from, B is all it says here. It says, John, I don't see how one can keep Peyton out of the top five. So he's got Brady, Breeze, Peyton, Rodgers, Roethlisberger, all of the above, proven winners, still playing at a high level, all of one Super Bowls. All right. I would say overall, of all of the respondents we've had to the top five list today, Peyton's been in about half the lists.
I think you still got to include him, John. He's still dangerous. He's still Peyton Manning. I got no problem with Peyton in anyone's top five.
He's Kerry Byrne, cold, hard football facts. Whether you like what he had to say or you disagree with what he had to say, he's going to tell you why he said what he just said coming up. You want to stick around. Thanks to Mark Johnson out fly fishing in Colorado for joining us. Eric Scalavino as well from PFW. Tomorrow, same patch time, same patch channel, right here, 2 p.m. Eastern time. In the playbook, Russell Baxter will be with us. More on the Denver Broncos as well. Pats and Broncos this Sunday afternoon, a 4:25 Eastern time kickoff here at Gillette Stadium. See ya.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2